First, I'd like to acknowledge my co-author, Dr. Todd Sabato, who's here today, for helping me with this project. For those of you who were in the sessions earlier this morning, there's some very important information that was discussed about gender identity, transgender folks, as well as their risk for HIV and STIs. And so we know that based on this research, there's a high prevalence of HIV and sexual risk behaviors, particularly among transgender women and also transgender women of color, African American and Latino trans women. While HIV prevalence among trans men is relatively low, we know that trans men who have sex with men are at substantial risk for HIV and that many have had an STD in the past. We also know, and was discussed this morning, that individual behaviors alone of these individuals do not account for disparate HIV-STD diagnosis among transgender people, and that there are a multitude of factors, some of which are listed here. And one of the most incriminating, you could say, is discrimination, experience with discrimination in a variety of different settings. And in preparing for this, I noticed that there was, to my knowledge, no research that's been conducted among transgender college students to look at their risk for STDs or the role that discrimination plays in that risk. So that was the purpose of this investigation. So we want to see what is the risk among transgender students compared to their peers and explore the relationship between experienced discrimination and that STD risk. So the methods that we use, we basically conducted a secondary analysis of the American College Health Association National College Health Assessment Version 2 Spring 20 survey data. There were over 95,000 students that took place in this, that participated in this survey in spring 2010. We restricted the sample to include only students of traditional college age between 18 to 24 years who attended a four-year institution in the United States and also reported their gender. And in this survey, the question was asked as what is your gender, and there were only three options, male, female, or transgender. So we resulted with a final sample of 61,548 students, 106 of whom identified as transgender, which was 0.2% of the population. However, I was curious. We actually had more students who left this item missing, there were about 200, than identified as transgender. So we'll talk a little bit about that at the end. Also, because the questionnaire did not separate or distinguish between trans men and trans women, for comparison purposes, we combined males and females to form the cisgender category to compare to the transgender students. So in addition to looking at, this is self-report, students who said that in the past year they had a sexually transmitted disease, we also looked at, again, their gender, their age, and again, it's the 18 to 24 young adults, looked at race, ethnicity, whether they were an international student or not, and in what region of the United States their college or university was located. We also wanted to look at some of the risk behaviors with regard to whether they've ever had vaginal intercourse or anal intercourse, the number of sex partners that they had had in the past year, if they had unprotected sex as a consequence of drinking alcohol in the past year, the number of drinks that they consumed the last time they partied, and we created a polydrug use variable in which students reported having taking two or more drugs in the past 30 days were considered to be polydrug users. And then the question in the survey was very straightforward. It just asked, in the past year, past 12 months, did you experience discrimination, which they had in parentheses, racism, sexism, or homophobia, and did that experience affect your school? So we'll look at some bivariate analyses here in a minute, but we also did multivariate logistic regression analyses to identify factors that were associated with an STD in the past year based on students' gender, the demographic characteristics, behaviors, and experience discrimination. So some of our results, the mean age was 20 years. Most of the students were 18 to 20, the younger students, and they were predominantly white. It's not on the slide, but I should report that we had about 8% of students, both cisgender and transgender, that reported that they were an international student. These are the four regions as defined by the American College Health Association. And you can see the location of where these students who participated are, where their institutions are located. And I wanted to kind of highlight, there was actually a difference. More transgender students were located, not surprisingly, in the Northeast and in the West, or at least reported that they were transgender. So just in the past year, looking at whether they had experienced discrimination or not, about 5% of cisgender students said yes, that they had experienced discrimination, compared to 50% of transgender students. And we don't know where this discrimination experience took place, whether it was on or off campus, in their family, etc. So we don't know the details, but just that they self-reported this is happening. Also looking at whether or not they had an STD in the past year, 2.5% of cisgender students said that they had had an STD, compared to 12.3% of transgender students. Looking at some of our bivariate analyses here really quickly, those different behaviors that I listed earlier, we found that three of them, there were significant difference between cis and transgender students. In particular was poly drug use in the past 30 days, whether the students had engaged in anal intercourse, and whether they had three or more sex partners in the past year. And I like to highlight the anal intercourse in particular, first of all, to point out that one out of five cisgender students engaged in anal intercourse, but a third of transgender students said that they had. But without knowing whether they're trans men or women, it's hard to, you know, get a full picture of what's going on with this. Okay, so looking at our multivariate logistic regression analyses, we started out in our unadjusted model, and we found that transgender college students were over 5.5 times more likely to have had an STD in the past year than their cisgender colleagues. When we adjusted for race, ethnicity, international status, and region, transgender students remained over 5 times as likely to have had an STD. And accounting for other behaviors, we found that relationship remained significant among transgender students. However, when we incorporated and accounted for whether or not they had experienced discrimination, transgender students were no longer significantly at risk, and instead we found that students who reported that they had experienced discrimination were 7.8 times more likely to have had an STD in the past year. So this fully accounted for the risk among transgender students, and it's hard to tell because the numbers are so small, but it did also for black students. So this is a summary, basically, of what I just said. Transgender college students had 5.5 times greater odds of an STD than cisgender students in the past year. Demographic characteristics and sexual and substance using behaviors partially mediated this relationship among transgender students. Students who experienced discrimination in the past year had 7.8 times greater odds of an STD than students who did not experience discrimination, and experienced discrimination fully accounted for the elevated STD risk among transgender college students. So, like I said earlier, I believe this is the first study that's actually explored STD risk among transgender college students in the United States. It will not be the last, I can promise you. And it, sadly, our results are consistent with previous research in which transgender populations, and in this case, transgender college students, are at greater risk for an STD than their cisgender counterparts. And we also can show that experienced discrimination is a significant factor in STD risk among transgender college students, but that much more research is needed to understand what this means, this discrimination. Like I mentioned earlier, is this happening in their homes? Is this happening in their dorm room? Is this happening in the classroom? Going to get health care on campus? We don't know exactly where this is happening and what are the things that we can do to prevent them. So we need to also look at that. As if we start making these changes to address transgender discrimination, will we see a reduction in STDs? Obviously, there are a number of limitations to the study. It's a cross-sectional study, so, and it's not representative of all college students. For those of you who don't know, the National College Health Assessment is self-select to participate. So while there were 120 four-year institutions that selected to participate, it's not necessarily representative of all four-year institutions in the U.S. Also, it's not representative of all transgender students. And as I pointed out earlier, the measure does not distinguish between trans men and trans women, or students with other gender identities, such as genderqueer, agender, gender variant, etc. And I also pointed out that more students didn't even respond to that item, so we know that they're missing in this data as well. It's also self-report. So I will wrap it up by saying, preventing discrimination against transgender students on college campuses and surrounding communities is an important strategy for STD prevention, and we must apply a comprehensive approach, not just educating about STDs and safer sex, but looking at non-discrimination policies inclusive of gender identity expression on campuses, gender inclusive housing, restrooms, and other facilities, and making sure that on all kinds of forms, not just healthcare forms, that students are able to use their preferred or chosen name. And we need to educate not just transgender students, but the entire campus, faculty, students, and staff about transgender issues. So thank you very much. Hi.
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 Mary McFarland, CDC, thanks for a great talk. Curious as to whether you know if the discrimination that they experienced was actually in the STD clinic, because that seems like it would be a partial explanation for the huge correlation between those two things.
It might be. The problem is we don't even know where students got. They said they had an STD. We don't even know if they got tested on campus or off campus. And we don't know anything about the discrimination to be able to tie it to it, but that would be very interesting to see. I've actually had friends of mine who are trans students who have, because they are trans going in for healthcare, doctors assume that they need an STD test when they hadn't even disclosed any of their personal behaviors or anything. Hi.
Hi, Melissa Habel, CDC. That was a great presentation.
Thank you.
I was wondering if you have any plans to replicate the analyses, since there's more recent ACHA data, to see if there are any changes, improvements, if you have a larger sample, things like that.
Absolutely. Thank you for bringing that up. I know that just 1 year ago, the American College Health Association, they have updated the questionnaire. Now, for transgender students, it's a series of three questions. It asks them what their sex is at birth. It asks them if they are transgender. And then it asks them to report their gender identity, which not only includes male, female, trans male, trans female, genderqueer, et cetera. They can write in. So there's a lot of potential for that. I'm waiting for the spring 2016 data to come available. The spring data sets tend to be much larger, closer to 100,000. So hopefully I'll be able to have a large enough transgender population to compare. So thank you.
Hi, Sophie Mead, Johns Hopkins. I just real quick wanted to sort of addressing the point that you raised with the students not responding to the trans category as much as they didn't respond at all. I'm wondering why you chose to structure your survey in a way where you equate male and female in the same category level as transgender, instead of seeing those as subcategories of both cisgender and transgender. Mm-hmm. And do you think that that could have affected why trans students just like didn't respond to that because they felt like their identity was being questioned on too many different levels, if that makes sense?
Yeah, I think I know what you're saying. I totally agree. I wish I had created this survey, but I didn't. So you got to work with what you've got. But that was one of the things I was wondering about, is how many transgender students I just identified as male or female, and they get included in that population. So that's a great point. So unfortunately, we don't know. Thank you, though. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Lindley.